This is the last Sunday of the month, and last month we started a practice which I hope we continue, and that is during the communion service, I will be at the back of the church and available to pray with anyone for healing, including the anointing with oil. The anointing with oil, for those of you who are not familiar, comes from the Bible. It comes from James, where he says, is anyone among you sick? He must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The practice of prayer for healing is something that was done frequently in the early church, and it goes back, of course, to the ministry of Jesus, and we read about that in this morning's gospel from Matthew. A big part of Jesus' ministry involved praying for people who were sick, delivering people from demonic oppression, setting people free. How many of you have heard of John Wimber? Remember who John Wimber was. He's gone to be with the Lord. John Wimber was a man who did not have any faith. He came to believe in Jesus. His testimony is very powerful in a dramatic way. And the first Sunday after he became a Christian, he went to church. And what he heard in church was a very nice sermon that built him up, made him feel good. But he went up to the preacher afterwards and he said, when do you do the stuff? Now mind you, he didn't know all the right words to use, but the minister said, what sort of stuff is that? And he said, well, the stuff I read about in the Bible, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. When do you do that? He said, oh, that was for back then. We don't do that anymore. Essentially, what he was saying is we just give nice little talks now. But a big part of the gospel, of the Christian ministry, is that God desires us to be whole, because disease and sickness and death, which is the ultimate fruit of disease, is not part of God's original plan. And what we have in the life and work of Jesus, and in the life and work of the church when it believes, is a breakthrough of the kingdom of God here on this earth at this time, where there is no sickness and there is no death. The kingdom of God has arrived, but it's yet to come. We see the arrival of the kingdom of God with the coming of Jesus. But we won't see the full manifestation of that kingdom until he comes again. And yet in the meantime, we as followers of Jesus are called to manifest his life through us. In our Old Testament reading this morning, we have that wonderful story of Elisha and his servant. And they are surrounded by the Assyrians. And the servant cannot see what is surrounding the Assyrians, which is the armies of heaven, God's angelic host. And Elisha prays and he asks God to open the eyes of his servant. Paul tells us that the natural man, that is the man who has not been born again, who does not have God's spirit, cannot understand or cannot see the things of the kingdom of God. I was exactly like that. Before I became a believer in Jesus, I couldn't understand the Bible. I tried, not real hard, mind you, but I tried a few times to read the scripture. And it made absolutely no sense to me. But the minute I believed in Jesus, and I didn't understand, I didn't know there were, bear in mind I was an Episcopalian, I didn't know there were four gospels. That's how much I knew about the Bible. But when I opened that Bible for the first time after I became a believer in Jesus, all of a sudden it came alive. And the Lord began to speak to me through it. And I understood it in a new way. And my spirit began to feed on it. Because we're told that the Word of God gives us life. And that it lays bare the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That it's able to enter into our inmost being. And to reveal things to us that we cannot otherwise see or understand. We're told in the Psalms that God uses the word to heal. He sent forth his word and he healed them. Because there is power in the word. There's authority in the Word. In our reading from Matthew's Gospel today, we see Jesus confronting a centurion who would have been a Gentile living in the town of Capernaum, which is a tiny little village on the northern edge of the Lake of Galilee. Some of you have been there. You've been in the synagogue in Capernaum that has been excavated. Actually, it's pretty nice looking for being such an old synagogue, where Jesus would have been, where he would have preached. And the Roman authority in that town may have been what was known as a God-fearer. That is, a Gentile who acknowledged that the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, was the real God, and yet he had not come to convert to Judaism formally. But he sort of hung out on the periphery, because he recognized in Jesus something that was different. It was an authority. And that authority did not come from the government. The centurion had governmental authority, which in the case of Rome was considerable. And yet he had no power to heal his servant. But he saw in Jesus an authority and a power to do something. And so he acknowledged that. And being a Gentile, he knew that Jesus, being a Jew, could not come into his house. He said, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you to even come under my roof, but I believe that your authority is such that if you even speak the word now, my servant will be healed." And he was healed. Then Jesus goes into the home of Peter, which has been excavated, by the way. You can actually see the foundation of Peter's house. And his mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, was lying sick in the bed with a fever. And Jesus touches her hand and the fever leaves her. And she gets up and waits on them. And the word spread. That night, when evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. This was to fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53, that he has taken our infirmities and he's carried away our diseases. In our communion service, we read these words, "and all other benefits of his passion." And I believe that speaks, among other things, to the Lord's ability to heal, to make us whole. And I don't think healing always involves physical healing. It can involve emotional healing. God can put us back together when we've been shattered. He can give our hearts a wholeness that only comes from Him, from His Spirit. But we have to first believe, as the centurion believed, that God is able to do this, and that He's given authority to His people to pray in His name. We can't heal anybody. None of us can. It's the power of Jesus. When Peter and John are going up to the temple in the book of Acts, the man who had been sitting in the temple and begging in the gates of the temple, and Peter looks at him and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk," and the man is made whole. That was the authority that had been given to Jesus by Peter. Well, the crowds gather around Peter and John afterwards because they thought that there was something holy or special about them. And Peter makes it clear, it's nothing to do with us. Don't look at us as though by our own power or piety we have power to do anything. It is through the name of Jesus that this man is standing before you today, whole. It's His authority, and it's His name that we go forth in. So I would encourage you this morning, as I'm in the back, and it doesn't have to be me, by the way. There's nothing special about my prayers, but I just happen to be the one who's got the bottle of oil. And I will be in the back, and I will be available to pray with you. But I want to encourage all of us this morning, and I think this is a good prayer and a good way to start the new year. to pray that God would open our eyes to how He's working around us. That we would be able to see, in the way that the servant of Elisha was able to see, things that we normally can't perceive with our own intellect, with our own mind, that God would allow us to see spiritually, that He would open our eyes to His greatness, to His power, and ultimately to His love. Why does God heal us? Why does He care about us? It all goes back to John 3:16. It gets no more profound than that, because He loves us. God so loved you that He gave His only Son, that you who believe in Him may not perish, but have eternal life. And that life begins now. Let us pray. Lord, I ask You to help each of us to pray and to seek You with our hearts, that our eyes might be opened, that we might experience You in new ways, that You would show us Your greatness, Your grandeur, Your power, and Your love. And I pray this morning particularly that You would help each of us not to leave today without knowing the love that You have for us, not just corporately, but individually, that You knew each one of us before the foundation of the world, and that You called and appointed us to be here at this place, at this time, on this day. Help us, Lord, to know that this is the day that You have made. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.